Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Unfortunately, on this day, Sunday, September 29th, 2024, we laid to rest some legends, for it seems they all go in threes. We lost the great singer, songwriter, and actor, Andy Chris Christopherson, who departed the great green ball at the tender age of 88. Quite a life and Hollywood legacy lived. We lost a character actor and familiar face of stage and screen, John Ashton, known to many for his fine work in one of the great movies of all time, Midnight Run, and of course as Detective Taggart in the Beverly Hills Cop franchise. And we lay to rest any hope that the New England Patriots in 2024 would be remotely interesting. For it was on this day I pronounced the 2024 season officially dead. There will be things they'll play for, like the top pick in the overall 2025 NFL draft, or perhaps a top three pick. There will be some interest when and if Drake May ever does get into the game, although playing behind what we're now calling the WOLAT, the worst offensive line of all time, would be a great disservice to any human being, let alone your hope and future under center in Foxborough. Joey Sly is your entire offense. Jacoby Brissett was hit so many times today, it should be in a movie directed by Mel Gibson, rated R, released on Easter. My word. This defense tries. They do their absolute best. They deserve better. You deserve better. Patriots fans deserve better. I don't want to hear any talk this week about mirrors, collaborative environments, slides, silos, murals, nothing. I want to hear Gerard Mayo say they are not a very good football team. I want Alex Van Pelt to say that he's not calling good offensive plays. I want each and every player to say they know they can do better and they're going to have to. And I want Elliot Wolf to apologize to his team, to Jacoby Brissett, and to Patriots fans who, were I a multi-thousands of dollar season ticket holder, me, who loves his team more than just about anything else that I don't call son, wife, or dog, or beer, I got to tell you, I can't understand how and why, Andy, you'd see 64,000 people packed in the stadium next Sunday, let alone for the final seven home games of the season, to watch Jacoby Brissett be hit and sacked and or pressured and knocked down on every other dropback. Four games, four left tackles, four putrid displays by the offensive line. And oh, by the way, your best offensive lineman, your center, David Andrews, exited the game a couple minutes in with a shoulder issue. Not that replacement Nick Leverett did so poorly in his stead, but this is a disaster. And so there's your happy start to tonight's Six Rings and Football Things postgame show, live on WEEI. We're with you here on 93.7 FM, WEEI, all of our fabulous affiliates, WEEI.com, the Odyssey app. And if you'd like a peek inside Andy's guest room or my office slash studio, you can watch us at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. The telephone number, if you'd like to call in and weigh your football Foxborough frustrations, is 617-779-7937. The text line, if you don't feel like talking, but just feel like bitching, producer Zach Coe has been monitoring the text line. He said about an hour ago, you guys started going off. So we're going to monitor that and bring you the best of your text before the show's end. And of course, the socials at WEEI, at Fitzy GFY, and at Jumbo Hart. Andy, we stink.
Yeah, that was a lot of words to get to the correct words, the two. The only two that you needed in the end were we stink. And my answer as to why 60,000 plus would drive up Route 1 and pay $50 to park. And
where can you get a $50 parking space?
Well, all you could do, here's what I would do. I would do the free lot where you have to stay for whatever 90 minutes after the game, and then it's free and you can just leave later, because you're going to sit in traffic anyway. So just pull out a couple beers, have a dog, post gate, do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Bring your kid or a friend who kicked the habit a while ago and let them drive home. Or if you and I want to be real jerks, we could give everyone's Fourier's address and they could just park at his house. Browns.
Yeah, I don't think we should do that. I think he would frown upon that.
Yeah, probably.
But the reality is, the reason there is interest in this football team moving forward are two things. If you're a long-term draft Nick, it's the draft pick. And if you're here and now, it's Drake May. And when does he play? I thought it was really interesting, and maybe we can effort to get the audio. There was a little bit of a Greg Olsen word salad at the end of the game where he said 9 out of 10 times I play the rookie. And he's like, I believe you waste a year. But and then he said, but Gerard Mayo's doing the right thing. And it was like, oh, because you talked to Gerard. Like, you believe he should play him. Like, the whole tone of the thing, the comment was, you believe you play the rookie. And this is a respected analyst, this is a longtime NFL player, maybe a future Hall of Fame type player. But, you know, been around a lot of quarterbacks, teams, multiple coaches. And I think he'd qualify as an expert witness. The reality is, it's time to play Drake May. We've gotten to my game. We've gotten past Nick Bosa. We've gotten past the Jets. You've gotten past the 2 weeks that were tough spots on the road, which, oh boy, were they. If I were Jacoby Brissett, I would play a sly game. I'd wear all purple all the time because his nickname should be Grimace, because that's what he does almost every... Like, he literally has to grimace every time he drops back to pass.
The guy looks like he's getting... He's an 85-year-old getting out of an armchair to grab his walker to go to the toilet. Like, he moves that at that
tap
speed.
Tap out, buddy. Tap out. Jacoby, you're a great man, a great competitor. Just tap out. Because the reality is, and I don't know if he knows this or not, I know he probably tries to stay away from our airwaves other than when he's on. And please join us tomorrow on the afternoon program when we will talk to Jacoby Brissett if he is capable of speaking, if his ribs haven't punctured his larynx or anything of that nature after the absolute ass whooping he took yet again. But listen, because I feel bad for him, I really do, and he continues to like tap out, throw the damn towel, this is not a
we're going
fight.
Full Duke not Rocky IV. Throw the towel.
Yep.
Throw the damn towel.
This is not a fair fight. When you go out there and you see the way Laydon Robinson gets bitch slapped around the field, the way what the hell's the new guy's name, Jacobs, is just
DeMontre Jacobs.
Like, see ya. See ya, right?
And the kid is trying, but
he was
a second-year cut from the Broncos.
A D-end on a left tackle. I don't care who the left tackle is. He's in the NFL, correct? This is an NFL left tackle.
Yes,
by
sir.
Nature of the job, that's an NFL left tackle. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't look like a wide receiver doing releases against a DB, and that's what it looked like. It was like, boom, boom, gone. Boom, boom, gone. And, you know, he actually worked really hard and was kind of snake-bitten. He didn't really get a sack till late in the game, Bosa, but double-digit hits again on... Jacoby Brissett. You had Ramondre Stevenson fumble again, give the ball away. And I'm sorry, I know you kind of threw some, I don't know, wilted Browning roses and laurels toward the defense. No, I can't, because yet another game in which if you were going to have any sniff of a chance, you start the second half with a fumble, you score a touchdown, you cut it to 20-10, right? That's a game where 10 points and a half, well, for this offense is a lot, but for most offenses, you should think you're in it, and immediately you give up a big pass play. 49ers, I believe, go four plays down the field, touchdown. This defense is supposed to win games. I also don't want to hear about injuries. I don't want to hear, oh, well, Duggar got hurt, and this guy's hurt. The 49ers had, like, all pros littered all over their sideline in street clothes watching this game. I don't want to hear. That's what happens in the NFL. You got to figure out a way to get by with lesser talents if you miss some talents. So, the reality is, Gerard Mayo, and we'll listen to him in a little bit. What's that old saying? Like, some splaining to do? He's got some splaining to do.
Hey, Gerard, you got some splaining to do.
The only positive I can take out of this game, other than the special teamers, great job. We got a punter and a kicker that are pretty good. Joey Sly with the fourth longest field goal in NFL history. That's awesome. That's a great SID. Put that on the front of your
most useless 63-yard field goal of all time, Andy.
Well, that's hurtful. He tried. That's all he could do is his job.
Words hurt. I apologize.
The only thing I can pull is I don't think they quit. I don't think anybody quit. I think, like, when Laydon Robinson's getting beat or Jacobs is getting beat late, I don't think it's because he quit. I don't think he pulled a Trent Brown and was suddenly not engaged. They're just, how you say, not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
No, I mentioned when I did a hit this morning on the WEEI Football Sunday show with Arcand, your broadcast partner, Arcand and Mego, now mine, on the as of yet to be named WEI evening program. I think that's what we're going to call it, the WEI evening program.
Ooh, follows the afternoon show. Perfect.
Well, you're the afternoon show. We'll be the evening program. It's a little more elegant.
Different. A little more creative. Right.
It can be a show in the afternoon, but we're going to be a program.
We're a program. Is that with a U or an A?
An A, two M's, and an E, like the British style. Program. So we'll be there tomorrow night on the WEI evening program. I mentioned to him earlier today
I believe we have Gerard Mayo ready.
Oh, is he ready to go? Here we go. Here's Coach Mayo.
It is a long season. It is a long season. And we're wrapping up the first quarter of the season. I don't think any of us are happy where we are. I think when we go back and watch the film, though, it'll be easy to identify so we can put ourselves in a better position to win football games. We sustained a few injuries to some Warriors out there today, some big injuries. Well, not big, but big in, as far as who it was. Those guys will come in tomorrow and do their injury check. So I'm not sure how serious or not serious the injuries are, but those guys that couldn't finish the game obviously are a big part of what we do.
John, I think with all the hits that Jacoby keeps taking in this offense, with the little time he has, you feel maybe there might be something to switch and kind of ignite your offense that way when you go home?
Look, I think there was a combination of, you know, schematically, we got to do a better job of getting the ball out of our hand right now. And then secondly, I would say the offensive line just has to do a better job holding up in protection. And we're trying to find different ways to do it. You know, and some of those, you know, it's easy on some of those sacks. You go back and watch the film, the ball should be out. It'd be easy for you guys and everyone else to say, well, the offensive line should have did that. So I wouldn't rush to that conclusion. But we got to coach better. We got to play better and execute.
So, I mean, given the fact that two straight games with little offensive production and really it's been that way, would you consider a change of quarterback?
And look, at this point, Jacoby is our starting quarterback. I haven't watched any film or anything like that. He's been a great leader. He just broke the huddle down after I talked to the guys. And, you know, we got to watch the film. We have a long flight to go back and watch the film, and we're always evaluating every single position.
Gerard, you mentioned the edge being a problem on defense. It's something you've said the last couple weeks. Do you need to change what you're doing coaching-wise to correct that?
Yeah, it's a frustrating thing. You know, sometimes you tell guys over and over and over, look, the stove's hot, and they still touch the stove. So today it was just if you were to ask me last week, maybe some of that was, you know, as far as the play calling, who were asking the Ozzie out. But today, and the players will tell you, like, it's on them to go out there and set the edge. This is your job. Do your job, and we'll be okay.
And if they don't do it, does it need to get to the point where they're just not having the opportunity? Yeah,
100%. You know, we always talk about these guys are competing and will be evaluated every single day, every single week. And look, we want our most dependable players out there, especially when it's a huge target. Look, we have targets on our back. Can't keep the quarterback in the pocket. Can't take control of the football. And so we're going to deal with it until we fix it. And it starts with me.
Draw the first possession of the game. You guys have 33 on their 41. Go incomplete and then punt it away. Why punt there instead of going?
You know, they're different. You know, we talk before we get to third down, and I say we. It's primarily myself, but I tell AVP, look, you know, this is what I'm thinking. Whether we're going for it on fourth and four, fourth and five, or we're going to kick it on, you know, 3 yards or less, that's kind of how it plays out. Look, there are definitely times where it's easy to, you know, in hindsight, look and say, I wish I would have been more aggressive here or there. This is how we decided to play the game or play the game today.
Gerard, you said, it looked like in the second quarter on that fourth and one where Ramondre got stuffed. Before that, on the third down, it looked like you guys got a bad spot. Did you get any information from Evan or anybody about challenging that spot? It looked like maybe Jalen had the first down.
I didn't get any information on that one. And I would say one thing, you know, we got guys in the booth. They can see the replays. I'm on the field. And there is a conversation. And, you know, put that one on me.
You said that team had good energy in practice this week. How did you feel like the energy was today, the effort was today?
I thought the energy was good. And I would also say, you know, going in at halftime, different than when we were at the Jets, I thought that the guys felt like, look, we have a chance. We have a chance. They were excited to go out there and cover a kick, and it happened to be a big play for us, and we score a touchdown. That's encouraging. You know, with that being said, there are a lot of things that we just have to correct from an X's and O's standpoint and also from a personnel standpoint.
What can you do to sort of launch the league and make it so this doesn't, you know, get any worse for players?
The players know it's early in the season, and they understand that. We have veteran players in there. They understand it's a long season, and you know, we've always talked about that North Star is just to get better each and every week. Now, look, there were some good things that that happened today. You know, maybe the score doesn't reflect it, but we gotta fix all the bad football, and that's my job.
Charlie, you had a conversation with Ramondre after he fumbled. What was that like? Obviously, put him back in after the series.
Well, to me, you know, a lot of this stuff goes back to body language and showing, you know, disappointment. I always talk about those type of things, and there's no one out there more disappointed than Ramondre as far as his ball security issues are concerned. And so there was a talk, look, it is what it is. Change the page and let's move forward.
Any thoughts of putting Drake in the game at the end like he did last week?
No thoughts, sir.
Gerard, there was a few big plays left on the defense. Did you see any commonalities on those?
Just poor execution. Poor execution. You know, they did a good job as well timing up those shots, and we just got to do a better job.
Gerard, do you feel like the pressure that Jacoby's seen over the course of the season has led to any skittishness or uncertainty in the pocket?
Well, I would say, you know, from this game, let me go back and watch the film, and I'll get back to you on that. What I will say about Jacoby is that he's tough both mentally and physically. I mean, this guy's going out there. He's taking some huge shots and continues to get back up. You know, sometimes you're like, man, is he okay? You're watching him for a while. But he is a tough guy, and I would never use the word skittish with a guy like that.
Given the state of the offense right now, you talked a lot about how Jacoby's only getting 70% of the reps. Is that fair to him in the offense? He's not getting 100%.
I don't think, and we've talked about this, it's not all about the reps that are actually on the field. It's also what we do inside, right? What do we do as far as our walkthroughs and things like that? So I'm not going to go on, you know, not being prepared because he's taking 70% of the snaps. We just got to do better.
Obviously, you haven't seen the film, but what goes through your mind now is what you guys need to do this week to get ready battle Miami,
a
lot of victory.
Yeah, it's a huge game for us, a divisional game, and you always want to win those. We want to take the good things that we did today and carry those over and get rid of the bad football. And that's my job. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, if the Buffalo Bills beat the Baltimore Ravens this evening, they'll run their record to 4-0, and the AFC East will almost certainly officially be over at that point after the Jets lost 9-7 today at MetLife Stadium to the Broncos. Greg Zuerlein missing a last-second field goal as well. You hate to see that, Andy. Just hate it. That doesn't make what happened to the Patriots 10 days ago look any better, but...
I think it actually makes everything feel worse because, mm-hmm. You know, we talked about the year coming in. There was, you know, questions about all three potential division contenders, and then it was the mm-hmm. Patriots. Yep. And two of them are kind of stumbling and bumbling in the Jets and the Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins have a lost quarterback issue that they're dealing with, which, mm-hmm. you know, that happens to anybody. But the fact that the second place spot is kind of up for grabs if the Patriots were a competitive football team. If you beat Seattle and you were 2-2 right now instead of 1-3, you know, you might be in a conversation for the second spot in the AFC East. And if you're in that conversation, who knows if you're in the wild card mix? Because the Bills look like the Bills are going to be a division winner yet again. It's all early. It's still early in the year. But you are every bit as bad as people talk about right now in terms of the New England Patriots. So you can forget about it's almost last week, Monday, I think it was. Yeah, Monday was their like NEP practice. It was all about the Patriots. It wasn't about getting mm-hmm. ready for the 40. Well, you need more of those NEP practices because before you can have great game plans against other teams, you need to have strengths to match up with their weaknesses. And I don't believe this team has strengths right now. I really firmly believe this team is lacking in strengths because, in part, personnel. I don't discount that. Uh-huh. Your offensive line, I think only like if you could sit there, just look at them lined up and name first and last name the offensive line, you're a real American hero and Patriot fan because I don't think most people know. I don't even know the guy's name. Jacobs, Demetrius, DeMarco, something
DeMontre.
Like that. DeMontre. But I'm being serious. It's like tuning into a third quarter of a preseason game and being like, oh, and Wenyu's still out there. I see him, the right guard. He's the rookie. They like him. They drafted. Who's the guy in the middle snapping the ball? Never seen that guy before. That's what this feels like. And then you go on down the line. Nobody has overachieved, right? Nobody has I won't say it. Like Antonio Gibson's been okay, I think, in his role as the complimentary back, the change of pace back.
Jermichael Hasty actually came in today when Ramondre put the ball on the ground, and he looks like Ramondre's stunt double. So he even confused. He
Littler,
wears 39, not 38, same hairdo.
But who would you say has overachieved this year? Anyone?
Jabril Peppers plays as hard as I think he would and should.
Yeah, but that's what I expect out of him. He's a good veteran player. He hasn't, in my opinion,
the MVP. Gone over is awesome. That's it.
Like, that's I it. Just, you know, I think Christian Gonzalez has been good, but I expect him to be good. He was a first round pick a year ago. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's supposed to be a number one corner. He's got a little swag and all. Like, Keon White, the bloom is off the last couple weeks because he's in the wrong place at the White time in terms of guys getting outside of him in the pocket, and he's a lot
not
like
as, not as bad as Josh Uche.
No, that's true, but. Both we weren't you know going over the top praising Josh Uche. I had heard that Keon White was going to be the second coming of J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt if they had a child. So which would be really weird because you know they're men, they're brothers. There'd be a lot of issues if they had a child. But Keon White needs to start doing his job in terms of the scheme. And there was even a threat there, a not so veiled threat that if guys didn't do it, there would be consequences. You might not have the opportunity to be out there anymore. And this keeping quarterbacks, I mean, Purdy is mobile, but he's not Michael Vick. He's not.
The 49ers didn't even play that great a game. Let's be honest. They did not.
They could have kicked your ass. They could have put a 50-burger on the board today if they played a good, clean football game. They were mediocre at best. And I continue to tell, you know, they're banged up too, so I don't want to hear injuries. Also, we just got to get it in while talking about all the crappy stuff. That would include, yet again, the guys wearing stripes. They blow. They are just inexcusably putrid at the NFL level now. They blow calls for both teams. I love now the new thing.
Even threw a flag and hit Jordan Mason when he's running for a touchdown.
When he's running for a touchdown, are you trying to tackle him? Like, are you trying to hurt him? And I love when we go to Mike Pereira and he's like, yeah, I don't really think this is a very good call. And he must have done that four or five times in this game. I don't really see the need for a flag here. Like, they are ruining, you know, there's already a low entertainment value of Patriots games. They're just, you know, is. But the flags make it measurably worse, in my opinion.
I was actually just going to ask that question as we get ready to head into break, and I see all of your calls lined up. We got Paul from Rhode Island, the living legend. He wants to weigh in. Mike, Leon, Bob, we're going
to
get to all
time
you guys
to bitch.
In just a couple minutes. Oh, the bitch line is why, as much like Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, and George Kittle when he was triple covered on the touchdown. It's wide open at 617-779-7937. I asked this question in earnest. No goofing around, no sarcasm. What exactly is the entertainment factor on this team? Like, what? Aside from the fact that we're both lifelong diehard Pats fans, and this is part of what we do for a living, why would you watch? I'm dead. Like, there is nothing enjoyable about these games from start to finish. There's no joy. There's no dynamic. There's no firepower. There's no excitement. There's no pop, flash, nothing.
Well, there's a pop,
but who doesn't get the ball?
Yeah,
everyone
he's wide
can
open.
Hear. Everyone can hear what you did there.
See what I did there?
It's still
they
not
can
helping.
See it too
it's
on
still
Twitch.
Not helping. You're not helping.
No, there is very low entertainment value. You know me. This is supposed to be sports entertainment. It's not WWE. It's supposed to be sports entertainment. You're supposed to get away from whatever's going on with your life, right? You don't want to go to work on Monday because you got a big project due. Your coworker's a jackass. Not talking about you, Arcand. It was just like a hypothetical. It's nothing personal.
Talking about me.
You know, your wife is a pain in the ass. Your lawn is like weeding, like whatever. Whatever the issues are, you're supposed to click this game on and get a little rush, right? It's 4 o'clock. I already did all my chores.
Yeah.
And you're like,
it's escape. It's supposed to be release from life, Andy.
No. I guess, I mean, here's where you could flip it and just say, my life can't be worse than the life of Jacoby Brissett and the Patriots offensive line right now. So, right? Is that a flip? I got it better than who's got it better than us? I'm going to say, pretty much everybody on the planet, Coach.
Okay. Just think about this as we go to break, everybody. And you can jump in when we come back, 617-779-7937 here on the Six Rings Post Game Show. Brought to you by our good friends, of course, as always, at McFarland Energy. Just think of it this way. Dovetailing off of what you just said, Andy, as we go to break. Imagine this. We've got the post game show for, what, another hour and 15 minutes? Other people have to make their kids' lunches. Who knows? Maybe do some laundry, whatever. Maybe they got some work briefs that they got to take care of before bed, etc. Maybe they still have to actually go to work. God only knows. And they spent part of their free time on Sunday watching that craptacular out in Santa Clara. Imagine being Jacoby Brissett, having been hit 12, 15 different times, every other dropback pressured, sacked 7 times, Kamale crunched time and time again. Imagine having to get on an airplane and sit there in coach class 6 hours back and then have to wake up 3 hours later and go to the football stadium in the morning.
Nope.
That sucks.
I also would not want to. I would snap, I think, if I were him. Like, if I heard one of my linemen joking, maybe they watch a movie, they need to kick back, and they're watching a comedy and they're laughing, I think I would go absolutely ballistic. I'm getting my life.
Hey, what's
shortened.
This funny to you?
Yeah. Slap him in the back of the head. All of a sudden, there's a brawl on the aircraft one coming home. But no, it's tough right now. We knew this was coming. You know, we're professionals. We signed up for this. We knew there were going to be tough days, and there are better days ahead. I will say that. I do firmly believe there are better days ahead when the competition isn't as impressive. Like, it's why I wouldn't have played Drake May last week and this week, because these were tough spots for the team, the coach, everybody. And that's why you watch, because sooner or later, some of the athletic plays you're seeing from, I don't care whether it's Arch Manning or whether it's Jaden Daniels or any of those guys, some of those plays are coming, people. They are coming.
I pine for late last night watching the end of Alabama-Georgia. That, thank God I watched that game last night, because that actually delivered some football entertainment factor.
Should we ask the cliche question? If those teams played the Patriots, who would win?
Oh, Carson Beck would pick the Patriots apart, 100%. I also love the fact that his right arm is just a sleeve. It's all he's a badass.
Well,
I love him.
In the second half, he was a badass. In the first half, he was bad.
Yeah.
He was
You can be bad while you're a badass. He was a badass. Then he was a badass. And you know what? I'll give you a fun little stat to chew on as we go to break as well. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give you a fun stat. I'm going to tease it across the commercial break. Super fun stat about the Patriots offense. When we return, 617-779-7937. This is the Six Rings postgame show presented by McFarland Energy. Switch to McFarland Energy for oil delivery for a free 2-year service plan and get remote tank monitor or get $500 off a new heating system only at McFarlandEnergy.com. We'll bring some McFarland Energy and then some to the Six Rings postgame show when you join us in moments here on WEEI. That was Fox second team color analyst Greg Olson, who delivered the broadcast of today's game with Joe Davis, talking about how 9 times out of 10, I would disagree with him, he would probably play the rookie at this point because there isn't much else going on in the season. But given the state of affairs with the less than dynamic or less than inspirational play calling, the lackluster, to be kind, because at this point I'm out of expletives or descriptives to talk about or describe and bring life and animation to this offensive line. All things considered, he wouldn't play Drake May. And even though we all know that would make this season, or at least the next game, at least, or next couple of games, far more interesting, it is now going to become the only talker in town related to football. Because I think we've all been beaten into submission now, just 4 games in, when it comes to discussing just how boring and how uninteresting, how lackluster the Patriots have become. You're listening to the Six Rings of Football Things postgame show, brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy. You got Fitzy, you got Hart, we got producer Zach Coe, who's monitoring the text line at 37937, and we've got you at 617-779-7937. Andy, because it's a shortened show tonight, it may be a truncated program in terms of length, but we will not abbreviate your feelings, and let's open it up with the living legend himself. Line one, it's Paul from Rhode Island. Paul, how are you?
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Paul. Great, Paul.
You like the Zebra Brothers today? All these games today?
They suck. They suck. They suck.
They suck. They suck. And I'm telling you,
save that.
I'm sorry, I forgot to say hi to Arcan.
Yep.
Listen, this cannot continue. I know it's the first 4 games. Everybody's getting the decoys out of the way.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to tell you, you had no business being the 49ers, even the second stringers. But I'm going to tell you, if you are second string on this effing team, you got your purse.
Yeah.
You should be doing your job. Because don't put it on a coach. Don't put it on Wolf. Don't put it on Kraft. When I played, if I had a chance to step in there, I don't care if I lost the game, but at least I did my job. You guys are not doing your job.
Leather helmet and you banged heads.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
I'll slap my Red Bull in your face. I'll tell you right now. I'm telling you right now, you guys are not doing your job. You waited 2 years get a shot. Guys that are injury, and Andy did say, I don't want to use the injury excuse.
Nope, we're not
doing
it. Let
me tell you right now, young man, okay, you're here, and you are on a privileged team that won 6 Super Bowls. You should be lucky that you got on this team, okay, even if you wait 2 years. You're not doing your job. I don't care if Joe in the truck calls you and said Jacoby sucks. It ain't Jacoby. It ain't Jacoby. You need to protect me so I throw you the ball, you catch the ball. Goodbye.
Thanks Goodbye. For the call, Paul.
And this is a Chris, lot of Christian Arcand here tense. With Andy Hart.
There was a lot of changing of the tenses. And,
there was a lot of tonal variations.
They suck.
That I agree.
Also,
with.
He jumps like he's sort of like first. He's like he switches narrative POVs. It's like first, yes. it's first person, it's third person.
This
it's
is
us,
a book
we,
I stop reading. I don't like the style of the book.
It's very James Joycean. Like it's all over the place.
I'd move on, but I do.
I don't disagree with him though.
His point on it's not Jacoby in the sense that change quarterbacks and everything's going to be fine. Like that is not even close to the situation, right? Mm-hmm. The centerpiece of the offense has fumbled four straight games, two straight games he's given it to the other team. So that you can't really get rid of him because they barely have a backup in Gibson and Hasty. Like they're just not built. This isn't a team where you can say, oh yeah, we got another guy that can be the centerpiece of the offense.
Yeah, Cleveland, McCaffrey has a fumbling right? issue or McCaffrey's getting, you know, German tendonitis taken care of. It's okay, we'll bring in Mason who's just going to run roughshod right. all over you.
They don't even have guys that can do it. Never mind you don't know how good they are. Like Gibson is not built to carry the ball 24 times and be the centerpiece of a run first offense. Then you get to the offensive line. I will say, mm-hmm. I don't think Jacoby Brissett has played well. He's a tough SOB. I like gritty. I give him leadership. I give him all that. I don't think he's played very well. That was a great play by Fred Warner, but it was also not a very smart throw. Like, that's not a
I'm
good
sure
throw.
A lot of boxers, Andy, will tell you that their sparring partners are tough SOBs, but you don't pay thousands of dollars to go fly to Vegas and see right. them or $99 for a pay-per-view to see them as well. Like, this, he is basically now a QB sparring partner for the Patriots that just happens to be out there taking a whooping, you know, holding on to the ball too long, delaying his throws, occasionally catching someone open, like a nice little read on that 49-yarder, the quick reaction throw to Antonio Gibson when he actually had time to look Pop Douglas's way, found him once or twice, I think. I still have no idea why Tyquan Thornton's on the team, but I guess that's a discussion for a different
day. To block
day.
People in the back and ruin trick plays.
Honest to God. Honest to God.
Even though it was a bad call, I believe. But
it was still a bad call. It doesn't matter. Mike in Maine feels exactly the way we all do this evening. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. We sure can. Loud and clear, big guy.
All right, perfect. So I just have a couple of points. While it may not be all Jacoby, it is some Jacoby. Mm-hmm. Jacoby, before the game, actually said to his offensive line this week that, you know, he would always be guaranteed to get up. Let me give Jacoby some advice. Jacoby, don't get up, okay? When you get knocked down like that, let the cart kind of take you out. And, you know, I'm not one to take a Lamborghini on 495, but I think it's time to, you know, to switch quarterbacks. The other thing that Greg Olsen was saying, too, is that Jacoby couldn't, you know, you can't throw the ball any faster. Jacoby was taking more than 3 seconds to throw the ball. Not only that, but it seemed like every time that he completed a pass, he needed to have his feet set. You know, at least with Drake, he can throw on the run, that type of thing. And the last point, just really quick, AVP, your conservative offense is getting us killed on the offensive line. People are just loading the box, and I don't know how an offensive line can keep like 11 people from coming in on it, you know, every single time. You got to open up the playbook just a bit. Thanks.
You're welcome, Mike. Thanks for calling in. His line's open at 617-779-7937. It is not a particularly creative playbook. I do wonder at times, Andy, even though we've seen but half of a quarter in a losing effort of Drake May, if this timing and footwork, precision-based West Coast, hold the ball too long, seven-step drop, hooey-dooey is going to be the right answer for Drake May whenever he plays. I got to say, I don't know why. Every play, he should never take more than 5 steps. He can't hold on to the ball that long. He's already trying to be turnover adverse because he doesn't want to. That's his general nature, as well as he knows he's about to get crushed, so he doesn't want to try be in the throwing act or the act of throwing, while he's getting absolutely mauled. Luckily, the Dolphins don't have the same kind of pass rush the Niners do, or anything as talented as Nick Bosa next week. But still, it doesn't excuse away, as you were saying earlier, how anemic this offense seems in every facet and aspect whatsoever. And I know the line is key.
Well, I would say any criticism that a caller wants to bring about the offense, I will say, yes, you are correct. Anybody, if you want to criticize Stevenson, Van Pelt, the line, the receivers, the quarterback, I would say yes. But there's only one of those that I think I might have a potential significant fix for. The line is not, I have nobody. I do not have a Will Campbell that's playing, practicing, but not playing, correct? I don't have a Malik Nabers who's practicing, but not playing. I don't have a Bijan Robinson who's practicing, but not playing. I do have a Drake May who's practicing, but not playing, right? There's no other options. Joe Judge is the answer to all the other positions. No one else is coming. This is all we have, except quarterback. Someone else is coming. He's right over there, and we can bring him in the game and see if it changes things. Now, I don't know what their goals are, and they better have really thick skin. If they're really just willing to not entertain people, not really be competitive, not play the best player in the light of this is going to be a two-year rebuild, we're doing what we believe is best for Drake, we're going to get a high draft pick, all of that. Because you can already hear the questions growing. And you're hearing the questions not come from just like Ben Volen or on the Greg Hill show from Wiggy. You're hearing them come from Mike Reese and Dan Roach. And it's not exactly sharks, not exactly piranhas that are looking gotcha.
No.
They're saying something's got to change. What are you going to change? Would you change the quarterback? And that's going to grow. It's week four. There are 14 more weeks to this season. Let that sink in. It's week four. Mm-hmm. You upset somebody in week one. So it's really only week three of questions, because there weren't questions after week one. Jacoby was the guy, did a nice job, upset on the road, right? Even week
defense
two, there
was
were
great. They took him to the hill. Mondre was a monster.
Yeah. So you're 3 weeks into an 18-week campaign of what is going to become crushing criticism and questions from the outside. Now, I'm not saying you should bow to them. What do they say, like water off a duck's back? Or something like, if you can do that
Ducks
for 18 straight weeks, if you can do that for 18 straight weeks, Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf and Alex Van Pelt, because the other question I asked,
that's Ninja Navy SEAL level training if they're able
absolutely,
to do that.
Absolutely. I don't know that. I don't think they're in for it. I really don't, because there's also another place where there's a guy kind of waiting in the wings. I threw this out on Twitter, and I'm just asking a question. I'm not calling for it.
Okay, we're playing
Ben
radio. Go ahead.
Ben McAdoo was a head coach, an offensive coordinator, and an offensive play caller. So he has plenty of experience in that job. Is there some point where people, because this happens all the time in the NFL now, changing of play callers on offense, right? Every year there's multiple teams that change play
callers. Oftentimes more often than not, sometimes they get fired. More often than not, it's like, oh, this week Cliff Kingsbury, who's now the offensive coordinator, successfully so in Washington with Jaden Daniels. He looks okay. But I get what you're saying. Like,
how about, Brian Daboll, Kafka? Like, there's these places where there's head coach. Well, we don't have that, but we have the head coach of the offense, Alex Van Pelt, and then this other guy, Ben McAdoo, who I don't know what he McAdoo really, and maybe he's an option to McAdoo more. I'm going to keep making those. Or should I keep?
Nobody knows what he McAdoo does, and all I'm going to say is McAdoo don't talk
about
him.
I'm a method actor. I figured the team is really bad, so we should be really bad as hosts of the post-game show. We're method actors.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, if we're going to do that, I'll bring out my dad joke of the week. It appears as though on their way to the Bay Area, the New England Patriots have lost thrice-a-roni. That is no San Francisco treat.
That's awful. That's Fred Kirsch-like. And any PFW listeners know what I'm talking about. That was Fred Kirsch-like.
Oh, we need it. And by the way, I teased the stat earlier in the break. I'll throw it at you now before we reset for the second hour of the Six Rings postgame show. The stat of the week, it was just texted to me by my buddy Donald, who was listening on the South Shore to the Six Rings postgame show.
Duck.
Through four games, 2022 New England Patriots offense, as led and orchestrated by Matt Patricia, 74 points scored. The 2024 Alex Van Pelt led Jacoby Brissett quarterback New England Patriots, 52 points scored. We are 22 points behind what we considered the worst offense of the 21st century, at least in a Patriots uniform.
I don't even know which of the last 3 years is the worst offense. Like, they're all competitive. And everybody
oh, it's this one. This is the worst.
We'll see. We'll see if Drake May gets out there.
No, as of now, if it stays in its current iteration, this is the worst.
Yeah, that's probably true. But they also remember they got easier games ahead, lesser defenses, better situations. There may be
I'm
some
not going to comfort myself with that tonight.
How are you going to comfort yourself?
I got a fridge full of Jack's Abbey and Narragansett that I'm just going to empty as much as I can until my wife picks me up off the garage floor. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. More of your calls. Jacoby Brissett just took to the podium and spoke. We'll bring you his comments as quickly as we can, plus the best of your texts. Thumbs up, thumbs down, the Cars for Kids player of the game. It's all brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy here on the Six Rings Post Game Show on WEEI.